Does everybody have the sheet? Because there's a lot to go through today. This is a complicated topic. It's an interesting topic, but we're today dealing with the issue of Kol Isha. Kol Isha is, I think, a misunderstood topic. And I brought you a lot of sources, over 30 sources on the sheet, where I want to really try and get through most of them. We've got to, what time, quarter to 12? Mm-hmm. 10 to quarter to? Ten to? Fine. So if we can get started now, hopefully we'll work it out. I'm sure all of you are aware that there is a halakhic issue with singing, specifically women singing. We'll see, maybe there's a halakhic issue even with men singing. We'll see how that works. And there are lots of different factors that come together. There are issues with tzniut, which we need to just talk about. We had a whole share on tzniut, and therefore I'm not obviously going to go through all of that again. But there are issues I need to remind you of. Okay, let's give you one of these. Okay? Maybe just put a few of these on the back so people can take them when they come in. And there are also issues as to men's halachas and women's halachas, which are separate. Let's maybe start with them. The structure of Kol Isha works like this. There are women's issues and there are men's issues. The women's issue is it correct halachically for me to stand up here and sing in front of a bunch of men? That's the woman's issue. Okay? Strictly speaking, that is not really a Kol Isha issue. That is really a tzniut issue. A tzniut versus pritzut issue, meaning is it dignified, is it appropriate for me to stand up and do this routine in front of this crowd of people? We'll talk about that, okay? Then there's an issue of lifnei iver, which we need to talk about too, which is if I am going to sing in front of this group of men, am I putting them into a difficult situation and should I be cognizant of that and sensitive to that? And then there's the avat reim, which is always one has to be sensitive to other people's feelings, especially in this case if you're singing in front of men, how is that, putting them in a certain spot, and how does that work being out on the chavera? That's one set of issues. Then there's this kol isha, just one second, kol isha issues as such, which are the man's issues. Kol isha is really a man's issue. It's, I am a man and I'm listening to women singing. Is that a problem? Am I allowed to say Divrei Torah? Am I allowed to daven when there are women singing? Am I allowed to listen to a woman's voice to derive pleasure? And if, what kind of pleasure? Does it matter what kind of song it is? Does it matter if I'm at the opera? Or does it matter if I'm listening to somebody singing Zmiris, etc.? And then there's my obligation of Avas Reim, which is, if I am in a difficult situation, I obviously have to be sensitive to the women that are singing and work out the best way to get myself out of that without offending people and causing, like, a major breakdown. Yes? We'll talk about that, absolutely. It does not apply to speaking in any sense at all. And the issue of Divrei Torah, etc., will, if I haven't raised it, you'll remind me and we'll deal with it later. Let's have a look at all of the issues. Yeah, question? About what? Whistling and humming. Yes, I'll talk about whistling and humming. Remind me if I haven't got to it. Now, yes. Yes. Fine. I'll just want the background. Okay, so let's have a look at first the women's issues. Now, this is a little bit of a recap on some of the major highlights of the tzniut discussion that we had, but see if we can plug that in specifically to Kol Isha. Remember, there is a mitzvah doraita of tzniut, which applies to everybody. It's not just a women's thing, it applies to everybody. It's this issue of keeping the battlefield bathroom clean. Remember that? We talked about that. Look at number one again. When you go to war and you have to go outside and use the bathroom, you'll dig a little hole, and you have to cover up what came out. Having this awareness that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in our machaneh, to save us and deliver our enemies. And therefore, our machaneh has to be kept kadosh. And we'll see these words again soon. There shouldn't be any ervat davar. We shouldn't allow into our machaneh anything which is erva. Erva in this sense means like a negative public display of something that should really be private. Okay? Often, usually of a sexual nature. We'll talk about that too. That's something that we're not allowed to do. And therefore, that is the overall awareness of tzniut. And we saw that this is a mitzvah doraisa. This is all recapping, so you should know this already. Number two, I brought you here the bir halacha that brings down this from the smack, the sefer mitzvah katan, who brings down a list of the 613. He says, monet tzniut. He counts tzniut as a mitzvah doraisa, one of the tariag mitzvot. And also the posikin micha, vat sneya lechet, etc. Therefore, the first question you need to ask yourself when it comes to this issue of Kol Isha is the women's issue, which is it appropriate, is it dignified, is it proper for me to stand up and sing in front of this group of people? Or is this something that would be regarded as, in a sense, below my dignity? Okay? Before you even get into discussions of Kol Isha, and the man listening, and is it a problem for him, and are you causing him, first of all, you have to ask that question. And it might depend on how old the person is, it might depend if they're a kid, it might depend on where they are, but that's the first overall question. The second side question to that is the issue that we talked about of Dat Yehudit, and again, I'm not going to go through the whole thing again, but Dat Yehudit, if you remember, look in number 4, when the Mishnah there talks about the women who lose their ketubah, Ve'ele Yoseh Shelo B'Ketubah, the following women lose their ketubah, Ha'averith Al Dat Moshe V'Dat Yehudit, V'Yehudit. Dat Moshe V'Yehudit, what's Dat Moshe V'Yehudit? Says the Rambam number 5, Ve'ezo Dat Yehudit, what is Dat Yehudit? Minak HaTzniyut She'nahagu B'Not Yisrael. The minhag of tzniut that societies adopt from time to time of different societies, and we talked about that then, there are different appropriate styles of behavior and styles of dress for different societies. So apart from the personal dignity issue, I think it's really critical for a person to realize that really across the board in religious society, the Dat Yehudit is that women just don't stand up and sing in front of men. It's just not the accepted behavior. Okay, and in that sense, it kind of closes the whole debate, because if you want to stand up and sing a solo in front of a bunch of men, okay, we'll see that there are grey areas. We'll see there are grey areas. The question is, that really goes against Dat Yehudit. I'm not aware of any religious society in which it's considered to be totally fine for the women to stand up, at least on their own, and sing in front of a group of men. Maybe I'm wrong, okay? But as far as I'm aware, the people who do that are not doing it because they've asked Shiloh, they're doing it because that's what they do. So I think that the first question, before we get now into the whole issue of Kol Isha and Kalas Rosh, is it tanua for women to stand up and sing in public on their own? And I think the answer to that is no, actually, based not only on the subjective dignity issues, which you could argue in different ways, but also on the Dat Yehudit. I just don't think that will be seen as being anything other than pritzut. And we'll see maybe why that is and why singing becomes such an issue that people have kind of seized on it. Okay? So that's the first thing. So again, the woman's angle on Kol Isha is not really, is it Kol Isha, is it Tanua? And we have to bring all those things about sneers that we've learned before. Okay, let's go over the page to page 2. So this is new territory now. Chazal are worried about men and women and singing. It's a concern. For a couple of reasons. First of all, in number 6, there's a Gemara in Sota that's talking generally about song. Not specifically about women singing, but about song generally. And it says, Mishibat Sanhedrin. When the Sanhedrin was cancelled out, meaning when the Sanhedrin stopped functioning at the end of the second temple, just after, Batal Shir Mibes HaMishtas. They stopped people from singing. They said, who can sing? We're in a situation of Chorban. Singing is just not appropriate in a drinking scenario, Bibet HaMishtaot, and he brings a pasuk, Shenemar, Bashir lo yishtu yayin. With song, they shouldn't drink wine. And by the way, La Halacha, today, even though we don't have an issue of singing, except maybe during the 9 days, the 3 weeks, whatever, singing, listening to music, and also drinking wine is a halachic shaila. Whether we're allowed to do that, we're allowed to listen to music and drink wine at the same time, other than obviously at a simcha, at a chasna, something like that, that's fine, or on yons, or whatever, in Chol HaMoed, etc. But just stand to sit down and listen to music at the same time as drinking wine is a whole shy as to whether that's appropriate. Not because of women, but because of the Chorban.
But what if you're like in a restaurant?
Yeah, I mean, if restaurant is background music, it's not really music. If you want to go to like a place and drink and listen, and that's the whole shy as to, leaving aside the appropriateness of the place for a second, it's the whole shy as to whether that's right or wrong. You should just know that there are different positions on this, some of them very extreme that we really don't follow. Rav Moshe Feinstein, who is often known as something of a lenient opinion on certain things, on this issue was very strict. He said that it's also to listen to music, period. Finished. Today, ever. Ever. Nothing to do, ever, nothing. Jewish, not Jewish, it's nothing to do whether it's Jewish or not. He said the only time you're allowed to listen to music is that it's a simcha, on Yom Tov, in Chol HaMoed, etc., because he said because of the Chorban. Now, we don't paskin like that. Almost nobody follows that shita, but I'm just saying that just in terms of the Chorban, you know, we all have a hard time during the 3 weeks. Oh, can I listen to this? Can I listen to that? Can I not just plug in this or that? He said basically, Zo, finished.
Does he sing mirrors on Shabbos?
Shabbos singing Zmir is fine, but he's talking about Simcha music. Okay, for sure Rav Moshe sang Zmir on Shabbos. So we don't really associate that because our lives are connected with music the whole time. Okay? But just so that you're aware, they were worried about drinking and music, that's for sure. And the Gemara goes on. Amar Rav Yosef. What's that? You don't have to drink necessarily, do you? I'm leaving aside the issue of the club. Going to somewhere and drinking alcohol and listening to music, apart from the issue of the alcohol and the place and what have you, which I'm not getting into now. Let's assume it's all very kind of, your grandma's there and everything's very proper. It's a shaila just in the music and the Churban issue, like forgetting the Beit HaMikdash. We can't just let that go. But look at where it goes. This whole discussion turns into a discussion about men and women specifically. Look at the end of the first line, number 6. Amar Rav Yosef. Zamri Gavri, if the men are singing, the Ani Nashi and the women are answering. Let's imagine there's a kind of song going on. It's like a pub kind of song. And the men are doing the main kind of song. Well, I don't know what it is. And the women are coming with answering. Whatever it is. Pritsuta. That is Pritsut. You have the men and the women singing, but the men are leading. Zamri Nashi, but if the women are leading, the Ani Gavri and the men are responding, different kind of way around. The women are leading the song and the men are listening and joining in, says the Gemara, Ke'esh Benoret. It's like fire in the straw. It's like it's burning up. It's an explosive situation. So the Gemara says, why do I care? They're both wrong. So why do I put one is worse than the other? The Mai Nafkamina, why do I need to list them both? Because clearly both are wrong. No, Levituli Hamikamiha. Because which one do we try and get rid of first? Meaning one is worse than the other. And if you look at Rashi's explanation as to why, this leads us into the Kol Isha Sugya, number 7. Ke'esh Benuretz, is why is it like an explosive fire if the women are singing? The Fisha Ha'oneh Matal's no, because when you're responding to a song, you're listening carefully, lishmoa, to hear et ha-mezamer, the person who's singing, la'anot acharav, to answer, to respond. The nimtzu ha'anashim notnim libam lekol hanashim, and it'll turn out that the men are listening to the women singing. The kol be'isha erva, and he quotes the Gemara. We'll see in a minute in Brochas. The voice of a woman is itself considered to be an erva. Erva meaning a private thing which is not appropriate in public. 1 second. Kedisiv ha'ashviani et kolech, which we'll see in a minute. Hashviani et kolech from Shir Hashirim. Umave et yitzro ke'esh noret, and it whips up the yetzahara of the men. Men listening to women singing is just classically, and still is today, something that is part of a whole sexual thing for men. Obviously, that doesn't mean, we'll see this in a minute, that every time any man listens to any woman singing, it's automatically a sexual environment. That doesn't mean that. But the context, certainly here, where there's drinking, and there's men, and there's women, and there's a whole clubby thing going, it's obviously an inappropriate environment. Aval, Zamri, Gavri, they're Inya Nashi, but if the men sing and the women respond, then that's not as bad. Ksat Pritsut, yes. It's still also, but it's less of a Pritsut. It's a smaller Pritsut. The Kol Isha Erba, Aval Einu Mavi Yitzra, because the men are not focusing that much. You had a question? What's that? Pritsut is the opposite of Tzniut. What's Poretz Geder? Poretz Geder means you burst through a fence. Meaning it's inappropriate behavior in public, pritsut, it's not allowed. Both of these things are not allowed. Just one is worse than the other. If the men lead and the women answer, that's pritsut and that's asur. Okay? But if the women lead and the men answer, that's pritsut on steroids. It's worse. What's that? Which community? Sings what? Oh, good. So we'll talk about that. We'll talk about that. I'm not getting into your community just yet. I don't have to need more information. But I'm just giving you the sources. In principle, men and women singing together, it maybe depends on the environment. We'll see about that in the end. Okay? This clearly is talking about a drinking environment. You can imagine the kind of scene in the film, like a pubby kind of scene where the men and the women all with their beer mugs, you know, some kind of everyone's wearing lederhosen or whatever.
Yeah, this is only...
This is the context of this is clearly one in which everyone's in a clubby atmosphere, clearly, because he was talking about that just up till now, clearly. But nevertheless, it's drawing attention to the men and the women singing. We'll talk about context in a minute. Fine. Now,
they're both awesome.
Yes, they're both awesome. Which the problem is, one is worse than the other. And what is the worst one? When the men are focusing on the women singing specifically, that's worse than the other. Now, Where are they coming from with this Kolba Isha Erva? Have a look, please, in source number 8. Let's look at the sugya in Brochas and see if we can understand how that works. The Gemara is going to quote a pasuk in a minute. This pasuk is from Shir HaShirim. Hashmini et kolech. Let me hear your voice, says the man to the woman in Shir HaShirim. Shir HaShirim, of course, is a beautiful piece of Tanakh. It is all about the love affair between Hashem and the Jewish people. It's all sorts of different mashalim, okay, where there's a man and a woman who are trying to find each other, and as soon as they find each other, they lose each other. It's very, very beautiful. You should study it if you haven't already. So here he says, let me hear your voice. Ki kolech arev, because your voice is so pleasant. Umarech naver, and your appearance is so lovely. Rashi says, kolech arev. What does that mean, number 9? Midim shabach et lakra v'gava. Since the posik is praising the voice when it comes to the woman's voice, Shma mina, we see from this, ta'avahi, that the woman's voice is a taiva. The woman's voice is attractive. The woman's voice is potentially arousing. And therefore, you see from this that the concept just of a woman's voice in and of itself is desirable. Okay? There's a flip side to that, which is that actually the men end up in problems with that, but we'll see that in a minute. As a response to that, Chazal created an isser of any kind of kedusha when women are singing. Okay, davashe bekedusha. Number 10, we saw this before. Chad chassid shal Eliyahu zochar elatoy. So one chassid asked Eliyahu Anovi, says the Talmud Yerushalmi, Oru mashe yikra shma. Can a person who is naked say the shma? We're not talking about women here, we're talking about anybody. Anyone, can they say the shma with no clothes on? Amalei, so he said to them, no. Saying Dvarim Sheba Kedusha, saying Shema, davening brochas when someone is not, when there's an erva there, is osa. Amalei said no. V'lo yerbecha ervas davar, ervat dibur. And understand this carefully, because there are two specific issues of Kol Isha. One of them is an issue of dibur. I am not allowed to say Dvarim Sheba Kedusha, we'll see that right now, and we'll see what they are, if there is a woman singing. Because of the nature of the woman's voice being an erva. So you see from this that someone who's completely naked, clearly there's an erva, they're not allowed to say the Shema, Davin, whatever. One second, Mary. Chazal extended that on a drabbanon level to other things which they call erva. Look at number 11. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak. Tefach be'isha erva. A tefach of skin which is meant to be covered because of the laws of tzniut. We're not getting into that again now. Which a woman uncovers. Let's say a woman uncovers a little tefach of skin here on her tummy, something like that, and someone's trying to say Shema in front of that. He's not allowed to say Shema, even if it's his wife, even if it's, there's no issue of tzniut. If that's uncovered, and normally it's covered, he's not allowed to say Shema. Yes?
Would that also apply to yourself?
Only if they're completely naked, there's a problem. If a person is not completely naked, there is no problem, okay? But there is a separate issue for men, which is liboy roye ta erva, that men have to have a separation between their bottom half and their top half, okay, before they themselves can say Dvarim Sheba Kedusha. And that's one of the origins of why the gartel, you know, people, men wear a gartel to daven, some men wear a gartel, that's where that comes from. Today, la halacha, you don't need to wear a gartel, because since men wear pants these days, they've got like a waistband and a belt and that kind of stuff. Even without a belt, the pants have a waistband, therefore that is mutter. So strictly speaking, a man can say brachas if he's wearing even swimming trunks, something like that. That's mutter. But if a man was to be wearing just a bathrobe or something like that with no belts, so it's actually also for him to say a bracha or to say Kriyat Shema. For a woman, it's a slightly different halacha. Now, I hope you understand, in this context, it's not strictly about sexuality. There's nothing remotely sexual about a man just standing there wearing a bathrobe on his own. Yeah? And yet, Chazal said, no, 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 no. There has to be a distance between Erva and Kedusha. There has to be this distance between Erva and Kedusha. And therefore, if a person is saying things for Kedusha, they're not allowed to be in the presence of an Erva. Just one second. So one of those things is a tepach. Okay, but ishto bikrishma, even with his wife, meaning where it's appropriate she's dressed like that. Amar Rav Chisda, shoik beisha erva, the thigh of a woman is also an erva. And Amar Shmuel, and here's our posik, our statement, kol beisha erva, the voice of a woman is an erva. And he brings the posik shnei ma'ki kolech arevu marech naver. Amar Rav Sheshet, sear beisha erva, The hair of a woman is an erev, shne'emar, sareich ke'eda ha'izim. The hair of a woman when it's normally covered, a married woman. Now, what do you get from here? You get from here the following, that there is an isser in halacha for a man to say dvarim shebekedusha when a woman is singing. Okay? It's not necessarily anything to do with sexual context. It's just a straightforward issa. If I'm saying brachas, if I'm saying shema, if I'm davening, whatever it is, I can't be listening to a woman singing, even if it's my wife singing. It's nothing to do with inappropriateness. I feel a bit ishta, it says, because that's an erva, and this is kedusha, and the two don't go together. Now, a couple of questions we're going to ask. Who was asked a question? Yes, Mary.
When you're married and you're like singing benching.
Benching we'll get to. Benching might be different. Meaning, what is the woman singing? If the woman is singing something which is inherently itself kedusha, it may be different. We'll talk about that in a minute. Okay? Because I can bench with my wife when she's benching and I'm benching, that's less of a problem. But let's say if I'm in a school and there are women in the school and the women are singing zmiris, like themselves, and I'm sitting there trying to bench, so maybe that's more of an issue if they're singing something else. We'll talk about that in a minute. Yes. He cannot say Shema, although we'll see whether that's an issue generally. There's a Chida that talks about that later. So that's his issue. It's not her issue. He doesn't have to say, be quiet, I'm trying to say the Shema. This is the Ahavas Rei, this is the Ahavta L'Rei Shekamocha. He has a mitzvah to be sensitive to her feelings. Let him go somewhere else and say the Shema. Meaning, let's say I'm standing outside the Beis Yaakov school for choirs and song. And they're singing, whatever that is, I just made that up, obviously. And they're singing inside the school, they're practicing for Kedma. Like, forget Beis Yaakov. I'm standing outside Midrash Zehila and you're practicing for Kedma. Did you do well this year?
Yeah, we came second.
That's pretty good. Excellent. Who came first? Okay.
And why came first?
Don't talk about it. Okay. So I'm standing, you're practicing for Kedma. You're singing away, you know, doing your completely appropriate, not in any way pritzud. It's totally tanua. You're in the building, you're singing to yourself, no problem. And I'm standing outside, like, listening in like this. So one shaila that I have, apart from the kind of listening in shaila, which we'll get to in a minute, is let's say I happen to be davening mincha outside, and all of a sudden, wafting over the airwaves, Midrashit Tehillah's Kedma practice, that gives me a real halachic shaila. Okay, even though you're not doing anything inappropriate, I'm not doing anything inappropriate yet, it's just a shaila for me. Maybe I have to stop and wait until you finish and then I can carry on, because lo yer b'cha ervas davar. Okay? Fine. Go over the page, please. Yes. No, it doesn't apply to women in the same way. Women are allowed to say Dvarim Shebekedusha in the presence of other women. Sorry. I don't understand you. Not in the same way. I'm not getting into those halachas now. The nature of the difference between male anatomy and female anatomy leads to a difference in halacha here. And I'm not getting into all of the details here, but it is primarily an issue for men, not for women. This becomes a question for women, by the way, when women have to go to mikveh and say a brocha. It's just an interesting halachic shaila. You go to mikveh, where do you say the brocha? Sheikh Kedushan of Mitzvah Zaman Tivanu ala tefillah. And there are different minhagim on this, Sephardi women and Ashkenazi women. It's just like an interesting shaila as to how that works. Or if a person's converting, you know, to Judaism and how that works. Because usually when you're in the mikveh, you haven't got any clothes on. I mean, you're not meant to have any clothes on. Otherwise, it doesn't work. Yes. Yes. That's a very good shaila. How does a rabbi give a class? It's a kiruv kind of class. There are people coming in. They're really not dressed in any sense appropriately, but it's not their fault because they really don't know. That's a good shaila. In order to answer that shaila, we need a whole other shir on the question of, are you ever allowed to do a small aveira in order to help someone else to do a big mitzvah? Okay? Which is not for now. Okay, there's a whole discussion in the Shulchan Aruch, there's a whole discussion in the Mishnah Berurah, and that's what comes into play. But it doesn't make it automatically okay just because they don't realize what they're doing and they're here for Kiruv. You have to learn a whole sugi as to how that works. That's a great question though, not for now. Okay, go over to page 3 please, because I want to keep a focus on trying to get through what we're doing. So good, we have now a mitzvah that I'm not allowed to say Kriya Shema, etc. Halacha, I'm not allowed to say Kriya Shema when there are women singing. But what if I'm not saying Kriya Shema? What if I'm just standing there, listening, thinking, oh, that sounds nice? Is that a problem? That's more what people normally think of as Kol Isha, right? Man listening to a woman singing. So turn over the page onto page 3. So there in Brachas, there are a number of different Rishonim that talk about this. The Mordechai turns around and says, the Mordechai was a Rishon, he lived in Europe in the 13th century. He says, Tefach be'isha erva, v'kein shoik, v'kol be'isha erva. All of these things are an erva. Peyush Rav Haigon, he quotes Rav Haigon and says, the kol hani le'inyan kriyashma. That this only applies to kriyashma. This whole discussion applies to kriyashma. Therefore, he says, Hilkach at the end, Asa loyma davashe b'kdusha b'shmias kol shir shel isha. Therefore, you're not allowed to say a davashe b'kdusha, like I said, when you're listening to women singing for a man. But what about listening to stam to women singing? What if I don't want to say shema while I'm listening to you practicing for kedma? What if I just want to sit and listen because it's really nice and I want to listen to you singing? Is that a problem? So the Mordechai didn't say it was a problem, but the Rosh says it is, and we need to find out where he gets it from. Okay, number 13, Amar Shmuel, he quotes, Kol be'isha erva, shene'ema ki kolech areid, peirush, what does this mean? Lishmoa, just stand to listen to women is a problem for the man. Veloyle inyan kriyashma, and not only to do with kriyashma. Now where does he get that from? Because the whole sugi in Brochus was talking about kriyashma. Meaning, shoik be'isha erva, tefach be'isha erva, kol be'isha erva, seya be'isha erva. It's all talking about kriyashma. Am I allowed to say kriyashma? The Rosh all of a sudden says, no, it's not just that. There is a separate issue that men are not allowed to listen to women singing. Stam. And the question is, where did he get that from? And the answer is here. There's a discussion in Kiddushin about whether a man is allowed to send his best wishes to a woman. I go up to someone in Berman's Bakery and I say to him, oh, yes, please will you give your wife my very warmest regards. Okay? Is that a problem in Halacha or not?
Yeah.
So we'll see why that is. Look at number 14. So, yes.
Does it work in the reverse? Is it a problem also?
No,
for the woman?
Not for the woman. It's maybe a problem for the man. We'll see why that is.
For a woman to say, oh, I send
my wife. No, maybe not. We'll see right now. We'll see right now. Look at number 14. So Rav Nachman was talking to Rav Yehuda. This is a Gemara Kiddushin. And he asked Rav Yehuda if he'd like to send greetings to Rav Nachman's wife, Yalta. So he says in number 4, Neshade Lemar Shalama Le Yalta. Would you like to send a greeting to my wife, Yalta? Yalta was a very famous wife. So Rav Nachman's schmoozing with Rav Yehuda. And he said, yeah, you know my wife. Would you have any message for her? So Amalei, Rav Yehuda, was rather shocked by this, and he responded to him. Amalei, he said to him, Hacha Amar Shmuel. Doesn't Shmuel say, Kol Be'isha Erva? Again, the Gemara quotes, Kol Be'isha Erva. Now, this is not talking about Krishna. This is not talking about davening. This is just saying that a voice of a woman is an Erva. Well, she's not even speaking. So he says, No, El She'esha Alideh Shaliach. But surely you could send, you don't have to talk to her directly. You could send a message through someone else. Amalei says, no, Hachi Amar Shmuel, Ein Shoilim B'Sholom Isha. You're not allowed to ask after a woman's well-being, you're not allowed to send greetings to a woman. Alidei Baala, not even through a husband. He says, no, Amalei Hachi Amar Shmuel, Ein Shoilim Shalom Isha, Klau. You're not allowed to send Shalom to an Isha at all. Now, you're saying, what? Is that real? Is that the halacha? We'll see in a minute whether that's the halacha or not. All I'm interested in for now is, what did they quote here? Kol B'Isha Erva. And it's nothing to do with Krishna. And in the Yerushalmi, this comes up in a separate context. Number 15, Shmuel Amar Kol B'Isha Erva. He brings a posik from Yirmiyahu, the Hayami Kol Znuta. What's Znut? The word Znut, what does it mean? Yeah, it doesn't just mean prostitution. It means any kind of inappropriate sexual behavior. Kol Znuta, the voice of her Znut, the Techenaf Et Haaretz, is destroying the land in that sense. It's bringing Chinuf to the land. The whole point here is that it has nothing to do with Krishna. There seems to be a concern, and we'll see again, the Halacha L'Maisa, we'll see in a minute how this works, about just men and women even talking to each other, even sending regards to each other, certainly the man sending regards to the woman. And this was translated into other kinds of issues. Look at number 16. It says the Sefer Hasidim, this is nothing to do with modern day Hasidim, it's an old Sefer, okay? Aval lo yitachein lebachur lelamed lebanot. An unmarried man should not be teaching women Torah, which you might say is like obvious. Like, you know, why don't we bring in a 19-year-old guy to Midrash Tehillah to teach a class here?
One of my rabbis was a young rabbi.
Interesting. So we'll see whether there's any, like, we see what the hesed for that might be. We'll see that at the end. He says he doesn't think that should happen. Penit gabay yitzra alav, because his yitzahor is going to be strong. Or Yitzhahara, or her Yitzhahara, or her Yitzhahara, V'kol B'Isha Erva. And he quotes Kol Be'isha Erva. Now, what's going on here? Kol Be'isha Erva doesn't just mean technically I'm not allowed to say Kriya Shema when I'm listening to a woman singing. Kol Be'isha Erva means that whenever you have men and women mixing in a way which is kind of Yetzer Hara oriented, this itself is a problem of Kol Be'isha Erva. Men listening to women, women listening to men, etc. Yeah. Right, this is not even talking about singing. This is talking about speaking. Now, how are you allowed to speak to me? How am I allowed to speak to you? So we'll see. We'll see that happens. But you see, at least here, that a woman's voice considered an erva is not just about singing Kriya Shema. It's about more of a kind of general context. Yeah.
Are you going to cover this as prohibiting friendships?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
I am, because this goes to the whole root of should you be mixing with guys and how does that work? And we'll deal with that. But we must go on. So, have a look, please. What is the Psak then? I want to bring you two Shulchan Aruchs, and you'll see the Shulchan Aruch in two different places brings down this halacha. First of all, the Rambam in number 17. The Rambam, when he brings down the halachas of Shomenegia. Now, Shomenegia is obviously a sexual thing. We talked about that when we had a class on Shomenegia. It says, number the Rambam 17. Asa la'adam likris b'yadav or b'raglav or liris b'eva. A man's not allowed to wink at a woman, yeah? La'achas min ha'arayt, if she's an erva, or a schaikima, or to mess around with her. To have a kind of fun in that sense. I'm not saying you can't have fun with people. We'll see how that works in a minute. Or la hakala roish, or to have kalas roish in that sense, to kind of mess around with a woman. Afilu la hareach b'samim shaleah, even to smell her perfume if she walks past, for a guy to smell a perfume, or la avid b'yafya, or to gaze on her and look at her in an inappropriate way. That is all awesome. Okay. And if a man has kavana to enjoy these things with a woman, that is awesome. And he gets makas. If a man stares at a woman's even her little finger, shall isha and his kavana hanot with his sexual intent, commission is taken by mokam aserv, it's as if he looks at her completely. The afilu says the Rambam lishmoa kol ha'erva, even to listen to the voice of an erva, or liros sarah, or to look at her hair, asur, is prohibited. Now, he's not talking about Kriya Shema, he's Stam talking about inappropriate behavior between men and women. And the Shulchan Aruch rules that way in Evan Ezin, number 18. Tzarech Adam lehitracheik minashim ma'od ma'od. And this is your question about friendships. A person has to stay far, far away. Women and men have to stay far away from each other, ma'od ma'od. And he brings this in now, va'osel ishmar kol erva, oli rot sara. And as part of that, he's not allowed to listen to her voice, and he's not allowed to look at her hair. However, when it comes to the halacha of Kriya Shema, so he has a different wording, and it's in a different place. In number 19, says the Shulchan Aruch separately, Yesh li zaher mishmiyat kol zeme isha, a person should be very careful, not to be listening to a woman singing, b'shat Kriya Shema, okay, when he's actually davening, says the Ramah, but afilu b'ishta, and that applies even to his wife. Even when there's no inappropriate sexual context, because it's his wife. And therefore, just to summarize up to here, you have two different halachas of Kol Isha. One halacha is Kriya Shema, singing, even if there's no sexual context, it's inappropriate, it's asur for there to be women singing when a man is trying to daven, say, etc., etc. And that doesn't mean she has to stop singing, it might mean he has to go daven somewhere else. Secondly, there is a general problem of Kol Be'isha Erva, of inappropriate mixing, flirting, sexual kind of context, and that is even not necessarily with singing, that's with other things. So the question is, how does this work in practice? Meaning, the first halacha is very simple. It's more of a technical halacha. If I'm davening, I can't be listening to women singing, even if they're not doing anything wrong. So fine, so I'll just avoid that. The second halacha is much more complicated. What does that mean? I'm not allowed to mix with anybody? I'm not allowed to be anywhere? Like, well, can I listen to a woman singing on the radio? Like, is there anything inappropriate about that? I'm not gonna suddenly start, you know, flirting with her. She's on the radio. She's not, may not even be alive. Okay? It can't possibly lead to an inappropriate relationship, can it? And yet, maybe it's also because maybe it's about the effect it has on me. Does it matter about my kavana? Are men really not allowed to send their greetings to women? If I bump into Rabbi Kagan and say, oh, how's Mrs. Kagan doing? Is that also? Doesn't feel like it should be also, right? Does it? Or maybe it's the way you say it. How does that work? If someone says, oh, please give your wife my very warmest wishes. Like, Is that like a bit creepy as opposed to like
how she do, how you guys doing? Yeah,
We'll have to see, because on the second halacha about the mixing stuff, it's going to be very much more subjective. We'll see how that works. Fine. Let's talk about a few things you asked questions before about humming and whistling and all that. The first thing when it comes to Kol Isha is that the halacha makes it very clear that it applies to singing and not to speaking. Okay? And this is when it comes to the technical halacha of Kriya Shema and things like that. Number 20. Says the Ramah, Aval Kol Haragilbo, the regular voice that he normally hears, Eino Erva, is not an Erva. Therefore, there is no reason why a man cannot be listening to a woman speaking, okay, either generally or when he's saying Kriya Shema, as long as there's no sexual connotation. Okay, which usually they won't be by people speaking. I suppose it depends what they're talking about, doesn't it, really? But if they're talking in a regular situation, there's going to be no problem. As far as humming and whistling and all of that stuff, I'm not really sure. Whistling is not singing, okay? Clearly, whistling is whistling, not singing. Humming is singing, it's just a different kind of singing. So I have seen it brought down that humming is the same as singing, but whistling not necessarily. But at the end of the day, I'm not 100% sure. It's not really your problem in that sense, that if a man is davening and he's listening to whistling, he has to work out whether that is an issa for him or not, if it is for him. I'm not aware of any problem that they say women shouldn't whistle. There are people, by the way, that people that say no one should whistle because it's a whole mystical thing about shadim. You heard about this? That people shouldn't whistle because it whistles up the demons and all that kind of stuff. Like, I'm not getting into all that now because it sounds a bit weird. And you have to have a whole conversation, a whole share as to whether do we believe in demons, do we not believe in demons, do we believe that that's ridiculous, or do we believe that that's real and they're around us, etc. I'm not getting into that now. So whistling may stand be a problem, okay? But humming, as far as I'm aware, you know, in a context, humming is basically singing, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Humming is singing. It's just singing with your mouth closed. Beatboxing. It's like, like that kind of stuff. Yeah? Beatboxing is not singing. The Shaila is, again, what was the woman's question at the very beginning of the share? Is this Tanua or is it not Tanua? That's really the woman's question. The Kol Isha is really the man's question. So the man can have a Shaila about beatboxing, is that the same as singing? But you have a different Shaila, which is, you're about to do a whole beatbox routine in front of a group of people. Is that or is that not Tanua? That, I think, is going to really depend on the context. Like, who is it? What are you doing? Does it turn into a kind of, you know, you start, like, breakdancing on the floor or whatever people do. People don't breakdance anymore, I know. It's very 1980s, yeah? But whatever it is. So speaking is not a problem, okay? That is a regular speaking voice of a woman when it comes to davening, etc. In number 21, V'dafka kol erva osa, aval kol dibur shela, a woman's speaking voice, mutter, is permitted. But Amalei Mishas the Kiddushin, but you can quote the Shas the Kiddushin, the Itasham Kol Erva, Afilu B'Sheilat Shalom, Osir. Ah, but what about the case of the man asking after the woman, giving her a best wishes? That wasn't singing, that was speaking. Teretz HaRashba, the Rashba answers, he says, Kol Dibur Mashehu Meshiv Al Sheilat Shloma, Gratzvei. The nature of that greeting made it much closer and more intimate. Again, so he's saying you have to use your common sense. When it comes to the technical halacha of a man saying Kriya Shema, then speaking is not a problem. When it comes to the intimate question, how intimate and how appropriate is it? So it depends on the context, doesn't it? Obviously speaking is fine. I can speak to you, you can speak to me. But when it starts to get like, you know, my love and my wishes and all this kind of stuff, like at a certain point, that becomes a question. And the Mishnah Berurah says the same thing. Look at number 22. It's common sense. Haragilbo, Rotzaloima, Kaven Shiragilbo, since a man and a woman are used to speaking, there's no problem. Lo Yavoli, they hear her, he won't have any inappropriate thoughts. Afilu me'eshes ish, even if it's another man's wife, you can speak. There's no issa in halacha for men to speak to women, even if they're married to other people. Afilu hachi, nevertheless, osa la kaven la hanud mi diburah. But nevertheless, if the man has got a problem and speaking to this woman is sexually arousing, men are weird, you know that already, okay? Men can find sexual connotations in anything if they want to, okay? So the Mishnah Berurah, use your common sense. If you're getting aroused by the woman's voice, Shehare Fidu Bigadeh Asa, it's also clearly even to look at her clothes also, even when she's not wearing them. So again, that's very context driven, but speaking is usually fine. What about electronic call, electronic voice? So let's get back to the singing issue. Generally speaking, there's an issur of women, of men listening to women singing. Because we assume, unlike speaking, A woman's singing voice is really potentially attractive. Women, men like listening to women singing. Why do women sing in nightclubs and stuff? It's because men like listening to women. I wonder if you did an interesting survey. Are there more women singing in clubs than men? It has to be yes, right? No? I mean, I've never done a survey on this. I have no statistical evidence. But it seems to me to be clear that women singing is something that they want because the men want to come and listen. Therefore, the question we now have to ask is, well, what if it's through a microphone? If you listen to, if a man listens to a woman singing through a microphone, is that him listening to her singing? Or is that him listening to an electronic reproduction of her singing? And all the poskim are very clear that a microphone is not in itself a heter. That's not in itself a heter. Just listening through a microphone is not mutter. It may be that you can combine it with other things, we'll see, but that is not itself a heter, and I brought down some sources clearly on that. However, you should just know that listening to a sound through a microphone and having to be yotzeh halakhic obligation is a shaila. Are you allowed to listen to a shofar through a microphone? Or are you allowed to listen to a megillah through a microphone? That's a separate shaila. What's that? A wedding. Some of the rabbonim at the wedding are very particular not to say a bracha through the microphone. Why? Because they don't want the chosan and kala to be hearing the brachas through the microphone. The truth is that under the chuppah, the chosan and kala can hear the voice of the rab right next to them, so it's not such a problem, but people are particular. By the way, your question about shirim is also a question about chuppahs. There are certain chuppahs where the rab has to go and be masada kiddushin, and the wedding dress is, you know, doesn't leave much to the imagination. Okay, and the question is, like, how is that mutter? How is the rav allowed to stand there in front of a woman who's really not dressed in an appropriate way halachically, and still say all the brachas, etc.? And you'll see if you look closely, so the rabbonim they put the like the siddur like this, and they make it, you know, like this or whatever, and they go like this, and, you know, whatever. Again, they have to find a way to do it in a way that's not going to be offensive, God forbid, to the people, because offending other people is an issa d'oraisa as well. On the other hand, you can't do an Aveira just to stop offending people. So it's a real tightrope to walk. So an electrical call is a call. So microphones won't help if you're a man to listen to singing. What about an invisible call? I'm listening to a woman on the radio. Okay? I'm listening to a woman on a CD. So if you look at number 23, there's a couple of interesting sources. Gemara says here, Gemiri, the Ein Yetzahara Sholet, Ela B'Masha Ein Ov Ros. That you don't, there's no real Yetzahara unless you can see something. Meaning disembodied voices are not really the same. Oh, on the basis of that, it sounds like a radio should be okay.
But what happens if you know what she looks like?
Oh, so we'll get to that right now. So the Gemara in Megillah, in number 24, says something which may go against that. Tana Rabbanan, Rachav v'shma zinta. It's a bit of a strange Gemara. It's Rachav. Who was Rachav? She was the Rachav HaZonah, yeah, with the guys in Yeshua. So she was an incredibly attractive woman, say Chazal. And she was able to do znut just through her name. You just said the name Rachav and people kind of melted. Ya'el, she was also attractive, b'kola, okay, with her voice. Okay, Rabbi Yitzchak said, Kol ha'omer Rachav, Rachav, if a man were to just say Rachav, Rachav twice, miyad nikri, he would immediately come to intense sexual arousal, just by saying the name Rachav, Rachav. Says the Gemara, it's funny. Amale Rav Nachman, Rav Nachman said, I'm not Amina Rachav Rachav, but like Ichbatli. I said Rachav Rachav and nothing happened to me. Yeah? So what are you talking about? Like, people say Rachav Rachav all the time. I just said Rachav Rachav reading this Gemara. Like, I'm still pretty, you know, equilibrium, no problem. He says, no. He says, Amale Kikamina, you can get the whole point here. When I said this, it's B'yodav Makira, if you knew who Rachav was. That's, you have an image of Rachav in your mind, just saying Rachav, Rachav, oh, that's going to get you. But you don't know who Rachav is, so like, it's not a problem. So based on that, there are three shittas about men listening to women singing on the radio, CDs, etc. There is a lenient position which says that it's no problem. A man is allowed to listen to a woman on the radio. It's not a halachic issa, okay? As long as he doesn't have intention to be somehow sexually aroused by her voice, there's no problem with that. That would be a heter for the radio or for a CD. It wouldn't necessarily be a heter for a television or for a video, because then he can actually see her and it's not just listening. There is a strict position that men are not allowed to listen to women on the radio bichlal. It's also under all circumstances. And there's a middle position, like Mir was saying, that Rav Avadia holds that if the man knows what the woman looks like, then that's a problem. Like we saw with Rachav Rachav, that even if he's just listening to a disembodied voice, the fact that he knows what she looks like, look at Rav Avadia 25, Hamurami kol ha'amur dibiadu o makira, when he knows it and recognizes that afilo ali de tzmona, even if he's only seen a picture of her, also lishmoa kola b'gramafon. He's not allowed to listen to her on the radio or the radio. Avalim einu makira, but if he doesn't recognize her, he doesn't know what she looks like, muta. The ein bezem ishum kol b'isha'eva. And basically that's what they rely on. A lot of the radio programs where they even have, you know, religious people, whatever, singing, so they rely on the fact that if you don't know who they are, there are people who are matir. Now, let's talk about some other heterim, potential heterim. What about multiple voices? What about choirs? The Sri Dei Eish, Rav Yechiel Weinberg, had a very interesting scenario. He was asked to shaila in the 1950s by a Jewish youth group, okay, where there were boys and girls, like a Bnei Akiva type group, which was mixed, and they were singing kind of together, like songs to, you know, gibush kind of things. And he said he wanted to try and find a way to say it was okay. Because at the end of the day, there was a very strong kind of Kirov angle, and it was after the war, and there was a group they wanted to be strong together. But he's not just going to matter it if it's not allowed. So he goes through various different options, and one option he talks about is this thing called Trei Koli Loi Mishtamai. That if there is more than one person singing at the same time, you can't really hear the voice properly. So you're not really focused on any particular voice. So on the basis of this, maybe, could be, if there's a whole group of women singing together, so it's less of an issue if you're not focused on one particular sound. And therefore, maybe this is what you're talking about when you have a choir scenario. I don't know exactly the scenario, okay? But if there are women singing, there are men singing, and you can't actually hear any particular woman singing individually, no one's doing a solo, maybe this is some kind of a heter. So, again, this is a weak heter. Because at the end of the day, half the time you really can hear the people singing. If I go to a Kedma concert, then I really can't hear, obviously they don't let guys into Kedma. But if I crept in on backstage, you really can't hear anybody singing. You can just hear a loud noise. Okay? So maybe you could talk about this. But if you're doing a solo with backers, that doesn't really apply. And anyway, this is a weak heter, guys. Even the Sri Dei Eish says he's not really happy about this heter. It's like, how does this work? Unless you combine it with other things. And that brings me to the next point, which is Zmirot. There really is a Shita in Halacha, that Zmiros is a different situation. And when women are singing Zmiros, it's just not a sexual situation at all. Remember, for the technical Halacha of saying Kriya Shema, it doesn't matter whether it's sexual or not sexual. I'm not allowed to bench say Kriya Shema when the woman's singing. But if people are singing Zmiros, maybe that's not an Isser of Kol Isha in the sense of the inappropriate context Kol Isha. And therefore, there are many poskim that really do rely on that. I mean, for example, in the Tanakh, it says that Dvorah and Barak sang Shira and Dvorah together. How are they allowed to sing Shira and Dvorah together? So one of the proofs that they bring is from there, that it could be when people are singing Zmiris, singing Dvorah Shepet Kedusha in that sense, not Dvorah Shepet Kedusha, but Kaddish things, then it's different. And by the way, this was a minhag in the German communities, Rav Hirsch's community, and the other strictly Orthodox Jewish communities, that the women sang at the Shabbos table. And today, this is really a heter that some communities definitely rely on. Rav Soloveitchik said he agreed with this, that they have women at the Shabbos table singing Zmiros and the men singing Zmiros, and everyone can really hear each other. You can't really say, Trei Koli Loi Mishtamai, because you can really hear people. And the answer is, because it's Zmiros, then it's different. There are different people with different policies. Obviously, in most Haredi societies, in Israel for sure, and in America as well, the women don't sing at the Shabbos table, right? But in many other communities, they really do. And it's not just that they're breaking halacha, they're relying on this opinion, and it is a legitimate opinion. This, in different schools, at MNY, for example, we have the policy is that the men are not required to leave when the women sing Zmiros together. Okay? So when the girls are all swimming, singing Zmiros together, because you have Zmiros and you have Trei Koli Loi Mishtamai, so the Rebbeim don't leave. And that's based on this well-paskened heter. It becomes more problematic, A, when I'm trying to bench, because benching is different, or B, when the songs turn from Zmiros into something else. You know what it's like. People are singing, it turns into some other kind of fun song, which is not Zmiros, and then you suddenly have a Shaila. You know, is there a heter still of this issue? So it's a little bit of a tightrope, but nevertheless becomes part of that. Now, one other point. Now, I'm not talking about husbands and wives now. Young girls, Rav Moshe has a tshuva when he says that a choir of girls under the age of 11 is not a problem, because we can assume they're not neither. But I just want to talk about the last thing for the last few minutes. To what extent does familiarity, meaning, I'm used to it, it doesn't have an effect on me, to what extent does that play in? And this is really where you need to talk about mixing and socializing and all that kind of stuff. The Gemara recognizes that there is a real factor of what we call habituation, meaning I'm used to this, it doesn't affect me. How do you know what I'm talking about? Yeah? How far do we take this? Because men are much more used to being around women now. Do we say, okay, so that gives us some kind of a heter that things that used to be also are no longer? And the answer is yes and no. Yes and no. Have a look at two rather strange Gemaras. Number 26. Rav Acha Markiv Lea Katzvei Umarakiv. Rav Acha used to go to weddings, lift up the kala on his shoulders and dance around. Now maybe she was on a chair, maybe she wasn't, but he used to do something like that. Amnon Rabbanon, the rabbis, the younger rabbi says to him, Anan Ma'alu Mi'avid Hachi, can we lift up the kala and put her on our shoulders as well, dance around? Yeah, the Talmidim. Amalu, he said to them, listen, Idami Malaychu Kashura, if when you put the kala on your shoulder she feels like a plank of wood, L'chai, then you can. V'ilo, but if she doesn't, lo. What's he telling them? He's telling them no. By the way, this Gemara is one of the sources for the mitzvah tans. You know the mitzvah tans when the Rebbe has like down the tans with a girl and all that kind of stuff? So at a Hasidic weddings, the Rebbe sometimes does the mitzvah tans with the kala. They take a long scarf, like a gartel thing. She holds one end, and he holds the other end. And they do like the mitzvah tans thing. You seen this?
Yeah.
Look it up on you. Look it up.
Except the sheet's really kind of.
Good. So what would be if one of the, what would be if one of the Hasidim? What would one of the if one of the Hasidim said that's a nice idea? I'd like to also do a mitzvah tans with a kala. It's awesome. Now, have a look, please, in number 27, guys. We need to cover this because it's very important. Rav Gidl have a ragla to have a azel the yasiv ashara the tzvila. Rav Gidl used to sit next to the mikveh when the women would go to the mikveh. Amalu, they said to him, and he'd say to them, sorry, Hachi Tevilu, Hachi Tevilu. He'd teach them the laws of mikveh. That was like his like thing. So Amalu Rabban, the rabbi said to him, what, isn't this like really inappropriate? Like you're sitting by the mikveh and the women are going to the mikveh? Like it's not like it's in class, it's by the mikveh. Obviously he's not in the mikveh. But they're saying still, it's not right, is it? Says he said, they said to him, like a Mr. Fimari Yetzahara, are you not worried about Yetzahara that you're talking to these women as they're coming going to the mikveh? Amalu, he said to them, Damyim ba'apai kika ki chivira. To me, they're like white geese. Now, what are they? It's not an insult. Oh, it's not. Don't you want to be a white goose? No. The point here is, guys, forget about the geese. You can say what you like. The point is, he's saying that it's not inappropriate because I'm really the shame shamayim. Now, how far do you take this? How far do you take this? That's a good question. Meaning, he's not doing anything, obviously, that's intrinsically inappropriate. He's just in a situation that, well, it could be or it couldn't be. Yeah? And the question is, how do you draw that line? The next Gemara also says... Good. So you can't necessarily draw your own line. But again, let me ask you about the mitzvah tans. Let me ask you about the mitzvah tans. Everybody feels that's appropriate. The question is, how is that appropriate? Okay, so now you've heard about it. So the question is being l'shem shamayim a factor? So I just wanted to look at this. I'm sorry to just go a couple of minutes over, but it's important to get to finish this properly. Look at number 29 for a second. The Shulchan Aruch says, and this is to do with mixing and socializing and all that kind of stuff. Also, the ishtamish be'ish akvad. It's also to mix with women, to be involved with women at all, or talking to men. Ben gedoyle, ben katana, when I'm talking about the grown-ups or even children. Ben shivcha, ben shukhreris, whether the women are servants or not servants, anyone. Shema ilavi yulidi hirhur aveira, because men can easily be driven to hirhur aveira. Be'ed ishimush amri, what have they said this about? Berechitas panav, when the women are washing the face of the man, yad of a raglav, bafilu litzok, loy mayim, even to pour in water, lirchots for the bath, etc. He goes through all the areas in which it's really inappropriate, he says, for men and women to be in this close contact. And then the remark comes in the Rashi scripts on the last, second to last line, v'yeshem rim, Dehu adin ba'achila ima, even to eat with her bakara on the same plate, nami osa, bakol erva kamoi ve'ishta nida. V'yesh omrim, dekol she'ena osa derech chibah. And there are other people that say, bless you, that as long as it's not like intimate, rak kavanoso l'shem shamayim, but you're doing it l'shem shamayim, mutsa, then it's okay. Or l'chein nagol l'hakel b'dvarim eru. And therefore, our minhag is to be more makel about certain things like this. Where do you draw that line? Let's not talk about that for 1 minute before we finish. When it comes to mixing and this kol be'isha erbin, like greeting a woman and all that stuff, it really is going to be a fine line. Rather Vadia, in number 31, he asked about this issue of we used to women's voices now. Can we say we're l'shem shamayim? We don't get aroused by women's voices. And he says, no, you can't, because that is a scenario which lends itself to inappropriateness. And therefore, you can't draw your own lines. But there are other issues which you can, for example, not your own lines maybe, there are genuinely, he brings this down, different minhagim in the past about mixed seating at weddings. Is mixed seating appropriate at weddings or not? Now today, in the modern day world, in many societies, mixed seating, I'm not talking about mixed dancing. Obviously, mixed dancing, I'm not going to accept that you say it's l'shem shamayim. Because it's not, doesn't make any sense, does it? The whole point of mixed dancing is to be intimate. But mixed seating is lav dafka intimate. There, it says a Rav Avadia, there you can talk about different minhagim, l'shem shamayim, not l'shem shamayim. And therefore, I think when it comes to this central issue about mixing and talking, there is no automatic issue that in today's world you're not allowed to talk to men, you're not allowed to mix with men, etc. Especially in a society where you're used to that. Now, there are certain key objective things, mixed dancing and kol isha, where we're going to turn around and say, well, there's no l'shem shamayim argument here. But in other things, there really is. And therefore, you have to know yourself. This is a little bit harder for guys than for girls, because guys are much less likely to be l'shem shamayim about stuff than women are. That's just the way it is. But as long as there's a clear understanding that it really is l'shem shamayim, then there can be what to talk about. Even on issues, and this is a big question in Israel, you have this quite a lot, the army has a lot of religious soldiers now. Okay, a lot. And they have ceremonies in the army where they have women singing every now and then. It's not like the whole thing's women singing, but a woman pops up with a microphone and sings Hatikva, and this one does this, and this one does that. Do all the religious soldiers have to walk out, and then walk in again, and then walk out again, and then walk in again, and then walk out again, walk in again, and it causes enormous amounts of offense, and enormous amounts of bad feeling, and Chilul Hashem, etc., etc.? Can you use this kind of L'shem Shamayim because of the context, etc., or not? And I've referenced an article at the bottom in Tradition, which is really interesting on that issue. So, bottom line, it goes like this. Men are not allowed to listen to women singing when they're davening. That's an absolute. There's nothing to talk about. Even if it's not sexual, it's also even his wife. Men are not allowed to listen to women singing. Generally, there are issues of maybe a heter for Zmiris, maybe a heter for the radio, okay? And when it comes to the mixing, greeting, etc., I don't honestly think there's a problem anymore for me to say to Rabbi Kagan, oh, you know, how's your wife? I don't think that there's any, these days, any concern that that is a real expression of intimate kind of connection in any sense. But there you have to use your seichel. You really have to ask, is it the Shem Shemayim? And are there other issues? And is it potentially more intimate than you think? And therefore, that's really how it works. Sorry to take you over a few minutes. I'll be happy to answer questions. And I wish you all, this is the last time I'll be able to teach you this year. So I'm really pleased that you've been able to have me a few times. And Baruch Hashem, we'll be in touch. Who's this?